Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to begin by thinking about the words from the hymn that we just sang. Martin Luther's hymn version of the Lord's Prayer, divided up into 9 parts, just as he does in the Small Catechism. Your kingdom come, guard your domain and your eternal righteous reign. The Holy Ghost enrich our day with gifts attendant on our way. Break Satan's power, defeat his rage, preserve your church from age to age. The people, the tax collectors and the sinners in our gospel lesson were under the hold of the devil. That is, they had either not truly had the faith or had become apostate. They allowed the cares of this life, the cares of this world, things like prostitution, things like stealing money from others, things like never being content and not truly trusting in God, get in the way. And so those who had never had the true faith, or those who had it but then became apostate, that is, that later rejected the faith, Jesus had come to call them home to himself. They were under the power of the devil until Christ claimed them for his own. And when that happened, the people who claimed that they were the Christians, that is, claimed that they were a part of the true faith, they were awaiting the coming of the Messiah, even though that he is in front of them, they rejected it. They got mad at him when he spent time with the very people that needed to hear his message the most. How dare you be with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus says to them, a physician needs to go to those who are sick. Those who are stuck in sin, those who are become apostate, those who never knew in the first place, need the message of Jesus Christ. Yes, they need to be told that they are a sinner. They need to be broken by their sins. And once they are broken by it, once the law has done its job to cut to their hearts, then the gospel comes. These people were repentant. They were sorry for their sins. And they were willing to give up their old lives to follow their only hope of salvation. That's what we're supposed to be like too. But we still try to keep a foot in the other door. We still try to keep a foot in the ways of the world. We still like to meditate on the things that make us happy temporarily, as opposed to the things that will actually provide us joy for all of eternity. We let the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh convince us not to live for Christ first, not to do the hard things. But we also don't want to be like the Pharisees. We want to rejoice when people who lived for a time apart from Christ return. Or when those who had never heard come for the first time and are so moved by the power of the Holy Spirit that their hearts are cut and that they yearn for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single day we acknowledge that we are sinners in need of that Savior, but that we actually have him. We need to remember that we are baptized children of God, that he has made us his own, not to live apart from him, but to live under him, to submit to him. There is only one hope for salvation. There is no other name under heaven by which men may receive salvation. This is good and acceptable, St. Paul writes to Timothy, to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Buddha cannot claim that. Allah cannot claim that. The false god of the Jews cannot claim that. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. To be testified in due time, God called Saint Paul, this man who had been named Saul, he called him out of that life and showed him the better way. He called him to repent. He made him blind and then sent a preacher to proclaim this. Jesus himself taps him on the shoulder in essence and says, "You are now going to follow me. You will no longer persecute my church. Now you will follow me. Now you will be a preacher of the truth. Now, instead of rounding up Christians for death, you will be put on trial and killed for confessing my holy name." The devil would have us all convinced that we don't need to live for Christ. He would have us believe that we don't need to give our all over to him and let everything else flow from it. But you know as well as I do, and while the devil rages against it, the devil will be condemned for all of eternity. And only those who received the message of Jesus Christ, who received it, who lived it, they are the ones that will follow him for all of eternity. Jesus has come to repair us broken people. He has come to cast out fear, to cast out anxiety, to cast out these causes of doubts so that we may follow him. So, dear Christian, wherever you are right now, let Christ make you even better. Let Christ show you his cross. Let Christ show you his empty tomb. Let Christ pour out his blood to remind you that you are a child of his Father. Let Christ's body and blood fill your mouths, your hearts, for the forgiveness of sins, for life, and for salvation. Dear Christian, this is why we are still here. But this is just a pilgrimage. This is just a little while. So whatever you've been enduring, whatever you've been struggling with, give it to Jesus, submit to him, and follow him into eternal life. And sing with the church. "Forgive our sins, Lord, we implore, that they may trouble us no more. We too will gladly those forgive who hurt us by the way they live. Help us in our community to serve each other willingly. Lead not into temptation, Lord, where our grim foe and all his horde would vex our souls on every hand. Help us resist, help us to stand firm in the faith, a mighty host, through comfort of the Holy Ghost. From evil, Lord, deliver us. The times and days are perilous. Redeem us from eternal death. And when we yield our dying breath, console us, grant us calm release, and take our souls to you in peace. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.